We have been studying since last fall the book of Revelation. And as a backdrop of that book, a passage on which the Apostle John relies extensively is Daniel 7, a chapter of the Bible that has caused no small amount of confusion, but also points us to the reality of who our Lord Jesus is and what it is he has done. And so we're going to look at this passage this morning. Daniel chapter 7. This is God's word. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel saw a dream and visions of his head as he lay in his bed. Then he wrote down the dream and told the sum of the matter. Daniel declared, "I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea, and four great beasts came up out of the sea, different from one another. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. Then as I looked, its wings were plucked off, and it was lifted up from the ground and made to stand on 2 feet like a man, and the mind of a man was given to it. Behold, another beast, a second one, like a bear. It was raised up on one side. It had 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth, and it was told, 'Arise, devour much flesh.' After this, I looked, and behold, another, like a leopard, with 4 wings of a bird on its back. And the beast had 4 heads, and dominion was given to it. After this, I saw in the night visions. Behold, a fourth beast, terrifying and dreadful and exceedingly strong. It had great iron teeth. It devoured and broke in pieces and stamped what was left with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another horn, a little one, before which 3 of the first horns were plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. As I looked, thrones were placed, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames, its wheels were burning fire. A stream of fire issued and came out from before him. 1,000 thousands served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court sat in judgment, and the books were opened. Then I looked because of the sound of the great words that the horn was speaking. And as I looked, the beast was killed, and its body destroyed and given over to be burned with fire. As for the rest of the beasts, their dominion was taken away, but their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. I saw in the night visions. And behold, with the clouds of heaven there came one like a son of man. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. As for me, Daniel, my spirit within me was anxious, and the visions of my head alarmed me. I approached one of those who stood there and asked him the truth concerning all this. So he told me and made known to me the interpretation of the things. These 4 great beasts are 4 kings who shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, forever and ever. Then I desired to know the truth about the 4th beast, which was different from all the rest, exceedingly terrifying, with its teeth of iron and claws of bronze, and which devoured and broke in pieces and stamped what was left with its feet. And about the 10 horns that were on its head, and the other horn that came up, and before which 3 of them fell, the horn that had eyes and a mouth that spoke great things and that seemed greater than its companions. As I looked, this horn made war with the saints and prevailed over them until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given for the saints of the Most High. And the time came when the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, as for the fourth beast, there shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all the kingdoms. And it shall devour the whole earth and trample it down and break it to pieces. As for the 10 horns, out of this kingdom, 10 kings shall arise, and another shall arise after them. He shall be different from the former ones, and shall put down 3 kings. He shall speak words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and shall think to change the times and the law. And they shall be given into his hand for a time, times, and half a time. But the court shall sit in judgment, and his dominion shall be taken away, to be consumed and destroyed to the end. And the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. Their kingdom shall be an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey them. Here is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my thoughts greatly alarmed me, and my color changed, but I kept the matter in my heart. This is God's word. Let's pray that he would teach us this morning. Almighty God, help us to understand these alarming words, that we might keep this matter in our hearts and understand the end of the matter, that we might be found faithful, that we might be numbered among the saints of the Most High. Send your spirit to make this so, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Have you ever had a nightmare that left you shaken even after you were awake? I've had many because I have very vivid dreams, and I won't regale you with an account of all of those. But there was one time when I had broken my arm in real life, in a normal, ordinary childhood accident involving bicycles and skateboards. But they had to put me under sedation and re-break it and recast it. And the dreams I had that night, oh my word, I dreamed that I had broken my arm in some fantastical way. We were in the Scooby-Doo mystery machine, fleeing James Bond villains and driving over a bridge and crashed, and I broke my arm in the process as we were getting away. And when I woke up, as ridiculous as that dream sounds, I couldn't discern. So vivid and powerful was that dream, I couldn't discern how I actually broke my arm. Was it in a van running from bad guys? Was it with skateboards and bicycles? What happened? And it left me shaken. Apocalyptic literature often leaves us the same way, confused and alarmed as we try to understand these visions in the night and understand what it is they mean for us. It left Daniel, the prophet, alarmed and confused and greatly shaken. And so we stand in good company. And yet, as fearsome, as confusing as these words may be, there is something here for us to take to heart. And it is this. We find in this vision this central truth. The eternal, resurrected Christ will keep his people safe forever, forever and ever. We're going to see how this works itself out as we consider the vision of the four beasts, as we consider the vision of the glorious kingdom of God, as we consider what all of this means for us today. And so the first thing I want us to do is to consider the vision of the four beasts. I was tempted to put up here a chart. There are so many different versions. Just to show how ridiculous some of the interpretations of this passage can get and how intricate, and it's like a flow chart where things go all around. But it's a dream. And we're supposed to understand the vividness of it as communicating central, powerful truths, not necessarily to be worked out in spreadsheets. We see out of the chaotic darkness of the sea, four powerful kingdoms arise. One is like a lion. It corresponds to the kingdom of Babylon, and we see its wings plucked. Though it had spread over the face of the earth and conquered all things, and its glory was unmatched by any other kingdom of the world, yet, if you've read the book of Daniel before, you know in chapter 4, its great king Nebuchadnezzar was humbled before the living God, given the mind of a beast. But when he confessed the greatness of God, his wisdom and mind was restored, and he was set on his feet like a man and given his mind back. The second kingdom, that pictured in a bear, a lopsided bear, always hungry, even with food in its mouth, yet seeking more and more to devour, corresponds to the Medo-Persian Empire. This is repeated elsewhere in the book of Daniel in different visions. It forms a central part of the story of God's people and the story of Daniel and his ministry. It's lopsided because the kingdom of the Medes was essentially absorbed into the Persian Empire. One was greater than the other, and yet they formed one great worldwide power, devouring kingdoms before it, always hungry for more and more and more conquest, until it met its match. And that third kingdom, pictured in the image of a leopard with four wings and four heads, it corresponds to the kingdom of Greece, which had spread out to cover the face of the earth in a way that no kingdom before it really had. It may be the meaning behind the four wings, corresponding to the four winds of heaven, to the four corners of the earth, if you will. That number that throughout Scripture signifies earthly things, the created order. But it may also, in the four heads, correspond to how Greece ultimately, after Alexander the Great, subdivided into four provinces, though one kingdom, under four different powers and rulers. But these we pass by, as frightening as they are, almost without a thought. Daniel gives them very little consideration because of the surpassing terror that the fourth beast raises. Now, many have considered that this kingdom is corresponding to Rome, and that may be the case. But the text tells us again and again and again that it is different from any other kingdom that has come before it. It's not just another power that's conquered the world. There is something deeply sinister and evil about this kingdom. It has 10 horns. Horns symbolizing power. 10, that number throughout Scripture that symbolizes the earthly cosmic power. Because it conquers the whole world and brings all kingdoms under one lord and ruler. Unlike the other kingdoms, though they were not always kind to God's people, this kingdom makes it a point, its mission and purpose, to pursue and persecute God's people, to conquer them if possible, and to bring them to nothing. It's this kingdom that the Apostle John picks up on in the book of Revelation. When he says this kingdom is unlike any other kingdom, it is different from any other kingdom, it is more terrifying than any other kingdom because it corresponds not to some simple earthly kingdom, but to the kingdom of the prince of the power of the air, to that great dragon named Apollyon and the devil. It is the kingdom of Satan himself. For when he was cast down from heaven, he made it his mission to bring God's people to nothing. And he has infiltrated every power and every principality on this planet to bring about his ends and his aims. And the vision that Daniel saw so many centuries ago, the Apostle John says, is now being fulfilled in these last days. Those days between the first coming of Christ and his second. There's a lesson for us in this, that no matter how wonderful and great the kingdoms of this earth may be, no matter the marvels that they construct, no matter the good that they do, there is still no power they hold within themselves to bring about an eternal kingdom. Earthly kings and kingdoms are unable to bring forth this utopia that we all long for. One kingdom arises after another, and yet behind them all is a dark power at work. It's no coincidence they arise out of the dark and chaotic sea. When we read at the beginning of Scripture that the Spirit of God hovered over the waters, he spoke glorious words. Let there be light, and there was light. He brought order and goodness and beauty out of the chaos of the unformed void, out of the dark waters. But these earthly powers, these demonic powers, do not bring goodness and beauty out of the waters. They bring chaos and confusion and destruction. And the lesson for God's people in all of this is that history will not prove safe for the people of God. We may long for the kingdoms of this world to give us respect and to give us freedom and to give us support and encouragement in our pursuit of following after the living God. But time and time and time and time and time again, the kingdoms of this earth have shown that they have no real interest in that. Because there is a darker power at work, seeking to bring that same glorious people of God to nothing. And when you consider that, when Daniel considered that central thread of history, that it is not going to prove safe for God's people, it left him alarmed. It left him confused. It left him shaken. The color drained from his face and his strength left him. What about the world today has left you shaken? We can consider the wars and rumors of wars that we hear on the world stage. We can consider this pandemic that has brought the world seemingly to its knees in confusion and despair. Always more fear of what's next. We can consider just the pressure cooker that this pandemic has been and how it has exposed the cracks, the political divide, the economic uncertainty, even just our own personal loneliness, and despair, and fear. We can think even in our own congregation, story after story of cancer and tragedy and death. What about this world has left you shaken? We should turn our attention then to consider the vision of God's eternal kingdom. Because even as these four beasts arise, the Ancient of Days shows up and takes his throne. A war chariot with wheels of fire, a throne of judgment where the books will be opened and every secret thing will be brought to light. And what is interesting is that that little horn that seemed to uproot three other great powers that had eyes of a man to see with wisdom and discernment, to know how to twist and manipulate things to his own advantage, who said great, boastful, and ostentatious things. That little horn that grew and caused Daniel such discomfort and fear is dispatched in a sentence. For when the Ancient of Days takes his throne, there is no power that can stand before him. And even as the horn is speaking boastful things, the beast is slain and he's thrown into the fire. And then the true king arrives, one like a son of man. Jesus' favorite title for himself. But people, even in his day, were confused as to what that meant. Jesus even asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is? Is it Elijah? Is it one of the prophets? Or is it the promised Messiah? The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, is it the Lord Jesus Christ himself?" He comes riding on the clouds, showing his origins are not of this world. He is a divine power. And the kingdom is presented to him that is an eternal kingdom. Because if those four other kingdoms had anything in common, it was that they could not stand. But this kingdom is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away. There is no power, principality, or person that can stand against it or bring it to nothing. Not even death. And when death tried to destroy the Son of Man, the stone was rolled away and he walked forth alive forevermore and now holds in his very hands the authority over death. The keys to death and Hades. And no one will die if he gives the word. And this vision of God's glory gives us sanity, a moment of calm and peace in the midst of a world that would leave us shaken, because it tells us no matter how things may seem, our God reigns. His kingdom is full of glory, majesty, splendor, and might. And it is a kingdom that he invites his people into, that they might dwell with him in that kingdom forever. Forever and ever. Where do you need to see the glory of God anew? In the midst of our vision of a world that can often leave us shaken, where do we need the Ancient of Days to break through? Where do we need the Son of Man to come riding on the clouds and to reveal to us his glory and his might that is at work for his precious Holy Ones? It is easy to give in to cynicism. It's how it's always been. It's how it's always going to be. It's easy to give in to despair. I'm going to just make do with whatever it is I have. It's easy to give in to anxiety and fear. I've got to do something. It's easy to be blinded by confusion, unable to see clearly in the midst of a world seemingly gone mad. But this passage gives us a gospel hope. Our God reigns. He reigns over the kingdoms of this world. He reigns over history. He reigns even over death. The resurrected Christ will keep his people safe forever. And that, as we consider what these visions mean for us today, is the point. Whatever chart and figure you want to come up with, however you want to assign meaning to the ten horns or whatever, Daniel turns to one who's there and asks him, what does all of this mean? And God does not leave this prophet or us wondering, what's the point of all of this? We may not understand all of the details, but in verse 17 and 18, we are given the central truth. These four great beasts are four kings who shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, forever and ever. This king who has conquered even death gives his kingdom to his people, that they might rule and reign with him in glory and in splendor and in holiness and in righteousness and in truth forever. Oh, the little horn goes about trying to bring this to nothing. He fights the saints. He tries to conquer them. But when the Ancient of Days shows up and judgment is rendered, that little horn is as nothing. It's interesting, is it not, that the little horn makes his war against the saints. He doesn't come and fight against the Son of Man. Like the bully that picks on the little kid instead of going to fight the big brother. The horn knows he's outmatched. And so this message, as alarming and as confusing as it may be, is a call for endurance. It's a call for the saints to not lose hope. It's a call for all who bow the knee to Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to know that the greatest enemy we will face, the enemy of death, has already been conquered. And every power and principality has been made nothing before him. Follow after him in hope, with courage, knowing that no matter how things may seem, our God reigns. So where does your heart need strengthening most? What has pressed in upon you from the world to deceive you, to confuse you, to shake you, to bring you to your knees, to bring you to despair and cynicism? Is it your own sin and rebellion? Is it your circumstances? Is it those around you that you love so dearly? Is it just the general direction of the world? What is it that has sapped your strength from you? This vision calls us to look not to those things, to be not captivated by the beast, but to look to the glory of God in Christ. To be reminded of who he is and what he has done for us, that we might find strength to follow him wherever he leads. Because he is glorious. And as one pastor has said, we know of the Son of Man, who is at the same time the head and shepherd of all the fellowship. The shepherd sees the lion coming, and the bear, and the leopard, and the fourth beast. And he does not flee. Because the resurrected Christ will keep his people eternally safe. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would give us your strength and your courage this morning. That you would remind us of who you are and what you have done, and that you would break through whatever has clouded our vision of your glory. That the world would not bring us to our knees, but your grace and mercy to us would bring us to our knees as we bow in worship before Christ our Lord. We ask that you would do these things for his glory, for the sake of your people. In Jesus' name, amen.